What is going on, guys? This is Jamie Kane with Fanboy Sports, and do we have an episode for you today? I will be doing this episode solo because my buddy Jerem is a little bit busy, but he will be back with us next week. We were off last week, so we apologize for not publishing an episode then, but here we are, excited to officially be back with you. And I'm pretty pumped to say that officially football is back. I don't know about you guys, but I'm so pumped that football's back. The reason being is I'm a football guy. I love basketball. I love all sports in general. Big UFC fan. Obviously, I just said basketball. Just a baseball fan, especially live games. Love going to live baseball games. I'm pretty much any sport like I can sit down and watch. I even watch golf. Love golf. I can't really get into tennis that much. But anyways. With all that being said, I am definitely first and foremost a football kind of guy. Grew up a football fan, love football. I'm a huge Indianapolis Colts fan, big Boise State fan, football. But I love all of football, college, NFL. I love it all, man. Even high school football can be exciting to watch in your local community, right? So anyways, it's back. It's booming. We just had the Hall of Fame game last week. This week, we had the first preseason games open up, which was super exciting. I know a lot of people don't watch preseason. I personally don't watch every preseason game. I'll watch like the Colts, and I'll watch a lot of highlights, and there were a ton of preseason highlights already available, which was super exciting. I got to be honest, the reason I love the preseason is it's basically the appetizer, right, to the actual football season. And that's what's like, that's what's exciting about it. That's what gets me pumped because I'm like, okay, I'm watching this. That means the season is coming up. It's getting ready to begin. And I couldn't be more excited, right? So to go over the results of all the preseason games real fast. So the Colts lost to the Buffalo Bills 24-16. The New York Jets lost to the New York Giants. That game was super interesting. I don't want to say super interesting. What was interesting about it, however, was both quarterbacks looked really good. But I got to tell you, man, Daniel Jones did not look bad in his first NFL showing. Now, I know it's the preseason. I know it really, at the end of the day, it's not a huge deal. But I believe he went 5 for 5 and a touchdown. Let me double-check those stats real fast for you. Let's see. Sorry, because this is a one-man show, I'm having to look up and talk all at the same time, but that's all right, right? You guys can hang in there with me. So the Giants. Yep, so Daniel Jones, 5 for 5, 67 yards and 1 touchdown, dude. I can dig that. I can dig that. Have a really good showing as a 6th overall pick. I gotta be honest with you here. When Jones was picked by the Giants, like everybody else in the media, like every football fan, especially Giants fans, I'm not even a Giants fan, but I was pissed. I don't even know why I was mad. I was like, I'm not a Giants fan. I could care less, right? But I don't know. I was really upset about that because I'm like, dude, it's like, I guess at the end of the day, you're like, how could you screw up this pick? You need the 6th overall pick. You could have easily picked him at 17th overall. I really honestly don't expect much from Daniel Jones. But with that showing, he looked really good. And to be honest with you, I really believe, maybe not the beginning of the season, but maybe midseason, week 4, 5, 6, he's going to be pushing Eli Manning for his job. I don't know how many seasons you can go being completely mediocre. At the end of the day, that's what the Giants are. They're perfectly mediocre, and it is mind-baffling to me that they have continuously done so. I think they passed up on Sam Darnold last year, which I thought was a mistake in taking Saquon Barkley. Even though I love Saquon Barkley, I just think that they could have picked Sam Darnold there, who I believe will eventually be a better quarterback than Daniel Jones overall. But I got to be honest here, like we're giving Daniel Jones props, man. I think 5 for 5, 67 yards, 1 touchdown, did really, really well, looked super good. It's funny because Daniel Jones reminds me of a young Eli Manning because he's not very high energy. He kind of has that dumbfounded look on his face all the time like Eli does. And they're cut from the same cloth, considering that Dave Cutliffe was the coach over at Duke for Eli Manning, and Dave Cutliff kind of helped both of the Manning brothers, both Peyton and Eli, kind of up and come and become the quarterbacks they are. So it's very similar. It's cut from the same cloth, and I believe that's why the Giants picked him in this year's draft, is because they knew essentially what they were getting. They were getting a younger version of Eli Manning, and he's brought them 2 Super Bowls with the complete team, at least, right? And so, anyways, Daniel Jones, 5 for 5, 67 yards, 1 touchdown. With that being said, all their quarterbacks all got 1 touchdown, which is nice, and threw for a lot. Like Alex Tanny went 14 for 19, throwing 190 yards and 1 touchdown. So at the end of the day, it's like, you know, other guys looked really good, but I think a lot of the media, I know myself, was surprised at those results. I know for the Jets, Sam Darnold was 4 for 5, 68 yards, 1 touchdown. Number is very similar to Daniel Jones. I think Sam Darnold is going to take the next step this year. I think he's going to have a really good sophomore campaign. I don't know what the Jets do overall, but I think that Adam Gase, while I don't think he's the best coach in the NFL, he is a really good quarterback, quote-unquote, whisperer. So I believe that he will do well under Adam Gase, and I think he'll at least take the next step. And then we had here's the big surprise in the preseason for me. Week 1, Baltimore Ravens take down the Jacksonville Jaguars, which really, like, honestly, like, Nick Foles didn't play. Jacksonville didn't really, you know, do too much in the preseason, didn't put out a bunch of their starters. I just thought it was interesting because Baltimore shut out Jacksonville, especially with Lamar Jackson. He actually threw 6 passes. He was 4 for 6, 59 yards, and 1 touchdown. Today we're going to discuss the top 8 worst quarterbacks in the upcoming season, the Fanboy Sports picks at least, who we believe are going to be in the top 8 worst quarterbacks in the league this year. Lamar Jackson's on that list, so we'll discuss that a little bit later, but I was happy to see him throw a little bit more, just because in today's NFL, your quarterback has to be able to throw. He has to be able to thread the needle. He has to be able to put the ball where it needs to be. He has to be able to throw. At the end of the day, this is a throwing league, and I believe that the Ravens are kind of going old school and becoming a rush-first team, and I believe that essentially that's what they're going to do this year as well. The teams are going to have a lot of tape on them, but we'll discuss them a little bit. The next game, Cleveland Browns versus the Washington Redskins. I got a buddy, his name is Cody, huge Washington Redskins fan, and all I have to say is Dwayne Haskins did not look super good. He was 8 for 14, 117 yards, and 2 interceptions. Like I said, the preseason does not say much about what the regular season is going to be. I think it wasn't the New England Patriots a couple years ago. Like, I don't think I don't remember what season it was. I know they didn't do super hot in the preseason, and they go on to win the Super Bowl. So the preseason, it's all about giving guys time that essentially aren't going to start throughout the season, right? That essentially aren't going to be NFL starters in their first, you know, this season. But it's about giving them a chance to show you what they can do in a backup role. It's about getting, maybe there are a couple position battles, and this is an opportunity for guys to battle it out and say, look, I want the starting spot. So that's kind of what the preseason is all about. If you're a sports fan, if you're a football fan, you know that. With all this being said, we still got to talk about it. Dwayne Haskins didn't look super good. 2 interceptions. One of them was just a bad throw. It was right to Greedy Williams. There was nobody in that area. Dwayne Haskins threw it right to Greedy Williams. Just a bad look, dude. Just a bad throw at the end of the day. I think if I had to make a prediction, I think Case Keenum is going to be the starter at the beginning of the season, with Dwayne Haskins maybe making a push in the middle of the season, just like Daniel Jones for the New York Giants. I believe that he's going to probably make a push mid-season, but I believe we see Case Keenum first thing. Now the Browns, dude. The Browns. Baker Mayfield, 5 for 6, 77 yards, 1 touchdown. Dude, Baker looked freaking good. I know, once again, I know it is the preseason. I'm a big Baker Mayfield fan. I think a lot of people in the media are wrong about him, especially one Mr. Colin Cowherd, who, for whatever reason, Baker lives rent-free in Colin's head. But I believe that Baker Mayfield is going to be essentially one of the next great quarterbacks we have in this league. Hopefully we can see the Browns continue to put a talented team around him and continue to make a team that will not only match Baker Mayfield's skill set, but hopefully exceed that. Because I believe if they could do that, then they really do have a good chance to be a great team for several years to come with the team that they have built right now, which is kind of crazy to say considering this is the Browns, right? Like, I never thought those words would ever exit my mouth. But I knew when John Dorsey hopped onto the Browns and they took Baker Mayfield, it just signified a different era. They continue that in this year's draft. I think they're going to continue that throughout the season. I think it was really fun to watch the Browns highlights of the preseason because they were having fun. If you were watching the preseason game, if you were watching the highlights, if you're a Cleveland fan, dude, if I'm you, I'm pumped if I'm a Browns fan because this team is fun to watch, dude. It's super fun. We got, where is this at? Where's the defensive stats too? I mean, where's he at? Yeah. Or maybe it wasn't Greedy Williams. He got the – no, it looks like it. He got the pick. Yeah, Greedy Williams got the – yeah, Myles Garrett. Here you go, dude. Myles Garrett, you know, the guy – let me rewind here. The Browns are a fun team to watch, and they know that. I think these guys, they've won what? They won one game in 2 years, right? They went 0-16 and then what, one in – or I can't remember what the record was. All I know is they were just horrible for 2 years, right? They won one game in 2 years. I think the second of all NFL teams to go 0-16, just freaking ridiculous, dude. Just absolutely ridiculous. I think the Browns are sitting here. They see themselves. They're a very young team, and they see they have something special to do in Cleveland. I was listening to Sports Talk the other day, and it was I can't remember who I was listening to, but the host was basically saying, you know, people leave Cleveland. A lot of MLB stars actually start their careers off in Cleveland and then go elsewhere. CC Sabathia is probably one of the biggest names. I forgot the guy just got started in Cleveland and goes to the Yankees, obviously has a prolific career. A lot of people end up leaving Cleveland. I believe this team, these athletes, this Browns team, I believe everybody wants to be there. I believe everybody wants to be a Brown. They want to take this team and change it and turn it around and make something awesome happen, right? Make something that has never happened before for the Browns. The Browns have been horrible since the team got brought back in the expansion. I mean, they've never been a good team. I think it's cool because a lot of times you see Browns players, you see they get drafted, you see they get bummed out, or you know they get traded to the Browns or whatever. And before in the past, it was obviously it was a death wish for your career to be a Cleveland Brown. I believe the guys on this team this year are excited to be a Brown, and that is the difference. They're excited to make the change. They're excited about Baker Mayfield. They got a stingy young defense, right? They got probably the best receiving duo in all of football in OBJ and Jarvis Landry. They have a great backfield. They got great defensive ends, man. Like, this is a good team on paper, and I think if they can take that paper – that team on paper and translate it to the field during the season, during the actual season, I think that this could be a really fun year to watch the Cleveland Browns. So I'll move on from that. Detroit versus New England, 31-3. New England wins even in the preseason. Does that surprise anybody? I thought Jared Stidham did really well, the draft choice of the Patriots this year for quarterback. I forget what round he was drafted in, but he went 14 for 24, 179 yards and one touchdown. Could this guy be the replacement for Tom Brady? Possibly. The kid looked really good throughout his college career. I believe he started at Baylor. Let me double check that. I believe he started at Baylor, and obviously the Baylor scandal happened a couple of years ago. And he transferred to Auburn University. A lot of people were high at him at Baylor. A lot of people were high at him last season at Auburn. Excuse me, 2 seasons ago at Auburn. He slipped in this year's draft. It was not a strong quarterback draft. Everyone knows that this year. but I think he looked really good. I watched some of his highlights. I think he made some zippy passes. And obviously he got the job done throwing for one touchdown. Brian Hoyer went in there. That guy's just, I mean, when is Brian Hoyer going to retire? That's my real question, because we know this guy is not the heir apparent to Tom Brady. So I think it'd be cool to see Jarrett Stidham kind of take that stead. I know that I read some articles saying that Patriots were excited about Jarrett Stidham. Like I said, a lot of people were when he was in his early college career. I think if anybody's going to take a quarterback like Jarrett Stidham and transform him into an NFL starter, it will be the Patriots. They're very good at developing young players. Obviously, they hardly ever go hard in free agency. They're very good at drafting other players they don't believe are going to – other teams don't believe will ever do well. And they developed them. So I believe they did that with Tom Brady. Obviously, Tom Brady is the GOAT, as much as it pains me to say that, being a Colts fan. But, I mean, the guy was drafted in the sixth round. Obviously, a bunch of teams missed on him. But I don't think he would have been successful elsewhere if it wasn't for the Patriots. Now, I still believe he would have transformed to a great quarterback. I still believe if he would have been in any other team, he probably would have won a couple Super Bowls. But or at least one Super Bowl, I should say that. It was a perfect marriage because the Patriots developed Tom Brady. He needed a chance to play. He needed a chance to show what he could do. And the Patriots gave it to him. They did a really good job at developing him. And at the same time, he was a really good quarterback that people just whiffed on. I think that could be a Jarrett Stidham case. Maybe not. Maybe so. We'll see. I don't think he won six Super Bowls. But the Patriots did, in fact, trade Jimmy Garoppolo, who was the heir apparent to Tom Brady. They traded Jacoby Brissett to my boys, the Colts. So obviously, you know, they didn't have anybody. Picking Jarrett Stidham could be that case. For the Lions, they lost a couple of key players. I don't know exactly who they lost. I remember hearing they had a couple of injuries to a couple of their starters, which is never good for a team. I think this season's going to be rough for the Lions. I'll just leave it at that. All right, going into the next one, the Falcons versus the Dolphins. I believe the Falcons are a team that nobody's talking about that could make a deep playoff push this year. When Matt Ryan is on, Matt Ryan is on. It's as simple as that. When Matt Ryan has a good season, he's got a good season, and he gives the Falcons a chance to win. Do I believe he is Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady top player? I do not. I do not believe he is that, but I do believe he's a fringe player. I believe he's on the fringe of the first and second tier of the NFL. It just depends on the season, depends on the week. I do believe he is one of the top quarterbacks in this league, however, and I think he's going to do really well. I think the Falcons are a team that no one is talking about. I think they're going to have a strong showing this season, and you know, we'll see how it goes. This was interesting. Josh Rosen comes in for the Dolphins, throws 13 for 20, 191 yards, quite a bit of yards, but throws an interception, of course. I'd say something that I find super interesting, and this is something that I was reading throughout the week, is that they're saying that Ryan Fitzpatrick is essentially leading the starting job. You could see that he only threw five passes, two completions, 20 yards. They took Ryan Fitzpatrick out very early. He rushed for a couple of yards. Long story short is they're saying that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be the starter this year for the Dolphins. And if that is the case, Josh Rosen may be the most high-quality backup in the NFL, man. I wasn't high on Josh Rosen when the Cardinals picked him at 10. I thought he should have been somewhere in the 15-20 range. A lot of people obviously were high on Josh Rosen, the Cardinals namely one, but not high enough to not draft Kyler Murray, number one overall in this year's draft, which I personally believe the right decision. Kyler Murray is a great quarterback. I think he's going to be a shorter version of Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's going to be as successful as Patrick Mahomes because he's not playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's not playing for Andy Reid. He doesn't have the same kind of front office. I just believe if you look at Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray, I believe that they're going to have maybe not the same statistics, but the same kind of style of play. I think he's going to be very exciting to watch. That I don't believe he's going to be as successful as Patrick Mahomes was with the Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs are a much better team than the Cardinals, and I like the Cardinals. I kind of grew up being a secondary Cardinals fan outside of my dad grew up in Arizona, and so I kind of always liked the Cardinals. Not a Cardinals fan, a Colts fan once again, but like I've always cheered for them just because some of my family lives out there. I think the Cardinals are going to be fun to watch because of Kyler Murray. I just don't believe they're going to be as successful as Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, obviously, because they're amazing. So let's just get that out of the way. Now, going back to Josh Rosen, if Ryan Fitzpatrick beats out Josh Rosen for the starting job at the beginning of the season and doesn't make a push midway through the season, this spells dark days in Josh Rosen's NFL career. I mean, there's never been a quarterback ever that was drafted in the top 10 and then traded the next year in lieu of another top 10 quarterback choice, a number one overall, namely. That has never happened before. Then on top of that, goes to the second team, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is the ultimate journeyman. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think he's fun to watch. Fitzmagic, when he's on, dude. But Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a Hall of Famer. He's not a Super Bowl quarterback. He's not even a playoff quarterback. He's a decent quarterback during the season. He's a great bridge quarterback. He's a smart dude. His teammates love him from everything that I've seen. But at the end of the day, if Josh Rosen cannot beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick for the starting job of the Miami Dolphins, who I predict to have the worst regular season record this year, I don't know. We'll see. Now, the Dolphins did win this game against the Falcons. Like I said, offseason doesn't mean much in that regard. We'll see what happens. It'll just be interesting how that all unfolds. Now I'm going to go through this, finish up the preseason games real fast. Tennessee Titans versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Surprise, surprise, I believe Marcus Mariota left with an injury. Let's see. Let me double check here. I believe he did. Insides, let's see. Highlights. I don't see anything. I'm almost positive Marcus Mariota. I didn't watch any highlights from this game. We'll talk about Marcus Mariota later in the show. Let's see. Sorry, give me one second, guys. I apologize. Like I said, I'm having to. Yeah, here we go. Is this it? I thought he did. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. I thought I had heard he left with an injury, but I don't know. Let's see. And see, Marcus Mariota plays one series in preseason win over Eagles. Oh, I guess he didn't. No, he did not get injured. I don't know why I thought that. So that's my bad. So he just played one series and then got replaced by Ryan Tannehill. I apologize for that. They beat the Philadelphia Eagles 27-10. Long story short is I'm not high on Marcus Mariota. I was when he got out of college. I really loved him at Oregon. He has not shown me he can be an elite quarterback in the NFL, and we're going to get into it a little bit, so I won't cover that too much. I'm trying to see what else here. Anything of note on other preseason games? I tell you who looked decent preseason was the Minnesota Vikings beating New Orleans 34-25. We didn't see any Drew Brees, right? But like I said, like we're just looking at the team, right? We're seeing what the team looks like. I think Kirk Cousins looked really good, 4-for-4, 65 yards, one touchdown. They had a lot of different quarterbacks play for the Vikings. They had just a lot of clean plays for the Vikings. They just looked better. At the end of the day, like I said, this is preseason. I'm not going to say that again. If you think I'm talking about this the same way I'm talking about the NFL regular season, you're wrong. So, screw off. But I think at the end of the day, the Vikings look clean. They look put together. But so did the Saints. The Saints looked really good. I like to see my boy Taysom Hill get in there. I'm 8 for 14, 80 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. I love Taysom Hill. I love watching him play. I tell you who really impressed me, though, for the Saints, and you can probably guess, was Teddy Bridgewater. Also, Taysom Hill rushed for 45 yards on 6 carries, averaging 7.5 yards per carry. Taysom Hill is a freak athlete. So let's just all go ahead and recognize that. If every team could have a Taysom Hill on their team, it could go a long way. I wish the Colts would kind of pick up a Swiss knife player kind of like that. But anyways, so Teddy Bridgewater goes 14 for 19, 134 yards and 1 touchdown. Teddy Bridgewater looked really put together, looked really good. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I liked him in Minnesota. I never thought it was a top-tier quarterback. I never was like, oh, this guy's going to be the next, Michael Vick or Russell Wilson or anybody like that, Tom Brady. But he looked good in Minnesota. He looked really good in Minnesota. He looked really, put together until obviously that horrific knee injury, and then that really sidelined his career. But it was kind of cool to see him play against as a Saint against Minnesota, and he looked really good. I believe that if the Saints can keep him on the roster, I think he does eventually replace Drew Brees when Brees decides to retire. I don't think he's going to beat Brees out for the job. I think Teddy Bridgewater will get talked into staying with the Saints again, unless somebody really entices him. I know the Dolphins were interested in him last year. I know a couple other teams kind of poked around the idea, but he decided to stay with the Saints. I think that was a smart move for him. He gets to learn behind one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen in Drew Brees, a future Hall of Famer. And I believe eventually he'll be the starter for the Saints. Not this season, maybe not even next season. It'll have to be after Drew Brees retires. Now, with all this said, it was really good to see Michael Thomas, who signed a freaking massive extension with the Saints. He only caught one pass for 7 yards, but the fact of the matter is they got this contract done for Michael Thomas. Drew Brees loves Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas loves Drew Brees. And this contract, I'm going to look at the details real fast right now, was, I believe, made him the highest paid receiver in the league. Give me 1 second. Let's see. Contract details. So the New Orleans Saints signed wide receiver Michael Thomas to a blockbuster 5-year, $100 million contract extension that was happening early in training camp. Obviously, that was a smart decision by the Saints. I believe that Michael Thomas is a phenomenal receiver. Him and Drew Brees have a great connection between the two of them, great rapport. I believe that receivers are a lot more important in this league than, let's say, running backs. Hence, Mark Ingram leaves. Michael Thomas gets an extension. It doesn't take a lot to read the tea leaves for that. And anyways, I just think that was a really smart decision by the Saints to offer that extension. Michael Thomas is going to be around for another 5 years and will be catching passes from Drew Brees, and I predict eventually Teddy Bridgewater as well. Going back to the Vikings, did anyone else see that freaking crazy catch by Adam Thielen? He caught one ball for 34 yards, and it was just a freaking – it was on a rope by Kirk Cousins. Fantastic catch by Adam Thielen. I love Adam Thielen. I think the guy's going to have another awesome year this year. He's going to be fun to watch. So that's kind of all of note for me for preseason. There are some other games in there, obviously, Broncos versus Tampa. Broncos versus Seattle, Tampa Bay versus Pittsburgh. Um We are back from our sponsorship break. There is one more preseason game I do want to talk about, and that is the Cardinals versus the Los Angeles Chargers, or as I like to say, the San Diego Chargers, because they still are the San Diego Chargers. So, anyways, Kyler Murray, first preseason game in the NFL, 6 for 7, 44 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He threw mostly out routes, nothing deep. A lot of people were kind of criticizing this, but a lot of people also saw that, you know what, Cliff Kingsbury came out and said, look, we're not running the full offense. You guys aren't going to see our full offense. I think that was a smart move. I think it was smart to keep Kyler Murray safe. He can get used to the speed of the game that way. I think they're going to play him a couple more times throughout the preseason, which is a good thing to do. And I do want to say this. I do not know if Kyler Murray is going to be the next best thing. I do not know if he's going to be the next Drew Brees or Steve Young or whatever, Baker Mayfield, whatever it may be. I don't know if he's going to be that great. I hope he is. I loved watching him in college. I loved watching him make those crazy plays, running around the field. He was fun to watch. I loved watching Oklahoma when he was there. He made them just as good or even better than when Baker Mayfield was there, even though I think Baker Mayfield is an all-around better quarterback than Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray is a freaking stud, and I hope he's successful. I really do because I like him a lot. With all this being said, I think he will be successful, at least in what I'm saying, in the Cardinals system. I think he'll be a successful quarterback in the Cardinals system. He's got a rapport with Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff has been recruiting him since high school. He tried to get him to go to Texas Tech when he was coaching there. When he got fired, he obviously took the offensive coordinator job at USC, but then backtracked and took the head coaching job for the Cardinals. Very interesting circumstances. Then drafts him number one overall. Cliff Kingsbury's offensive mindset is what matches Kyler Murray. So I believe that Kyler Murray will do well, at least in this system, because of the rapport with Cliff Kingsbury's offense, with Kyler Murray's skill set. I think that they will do well together. I think that because at the end of the day, the Cardinals are treating him like he's been there for 10 years already. They're treating him like he has been their starter for 10 years, that he's the veteran. He is the Cardinals franchise. That's how they're treating him. And their Cardinals are giving him everything he needs to succeed outside of offensive line. Offensive line for the Cardinals is freaking atrocious. Hopefully they can get that put together. If not, Kyler is going to look a lot like Russell Wilson, where he runs a lot out of the pocket. He uses his mobility to throw downfield. I think that's what you're going to see a lot of Kyler doing this year, unless they can fix their line. And even if they do fix their line, I think he's going to play a lot out of the pocket, just like Russell Wilson does. They're going to run a lot of wide receiver sets. You're just going to see a lot from the Cardinals that benefits Kyler Murray. And because of this, I believe that he will do well. Like I say, I don't know if he's going to be the next great thing, but I believe he's going to be the next good thing, if that makes sense. So with all that being said, we're going to move on from the NFL preseason and talk about a couple of other different things here. So we went over Fitzpatrick, starting over Rosen. So the next thing I want to talk about is the Ezekiel Elliott holdout drama. This is still going on, and I firmly do not understand this from Ezekiel Elliott's standpoint. The dude has 2 more years left on his contract. He's making more money than Dak Prescott already and making more money than Amari Cooper already, which is nuts because I believe Amari Cooper is a lot more valuable to this system than Zeke is. I'm going to get a lot of hate for that, especially from Cowboys fans. That's fine. This is Fanboy Sports. Honestly, don't give an F about what you think. You're here to listen. Hopefully you enjoy it. Actually, I do care what you – I hope that you enjoy the show. But if we're going to disagree, that's okay because that's what we do in sports. So with all that being said, on that particular take, if you are going to come at me on that and hate me for that or whatever it is, so be it. I really don't care. That's my position. and you can deal with it. I believe that Amari Cooper is more valuable to the Cowboys than Ezekiel Elliott is. Here's my reasoning. Because I don't believe it's enough to believe something just to believe it. I believe if you do believe something, that you have to back it up. When Amari Cooper got to Dallas, Dak's game changed. He became more proficient. The Cowboys did better, right? At the end of the day, that's what it came down to. The Cowboys did better when Amari Cooper got to Dallas. Dak played a lot better. He was more efficient. Ezekiel Elliott has been out of games before, and Dak has done well without him. Another thing is that running backs' lifespan, I think the average running back in the NFL lasts 3 or 4 years. Let's see, average, I'll look this up real fast. Let's see, average NFL lifespan of running back. So it's anywhere between 2.5 to 5 years for the average career lifespan of an NFL running back, which isn't a long time. Receivers is around 8 to 10. They just last longer. You get a lot more mileage out. Running backs get beat up. Now, this isn't saying I think running backs should get paid more because their lifespan is so – or I shouldn't say lifespan, because their career lifespan is so much shorter than a lot of positions. They are an important position. I think they should get paid – I don't think they should get paid the most. I don't think they should get paid more than receivers. But I think a lot of times running backs don't get paid nearly what they're worth. So I will say that. I will put a caveat to this whole thing with that. With all that being said, Ezekiel Elliott is making really good money, more than Dak, who is their quarterback. And I get that Dak was a late-round pick or middle-round pick, whatever. And I get that Amari Cooper is still making pretty good money, but he's making more money than both of them because he's a top-five pick. And he has 2 years left on his deal. Dak has 1 year left. Amari Cooper's got 1 year left. You know what both of them said about their contracts? When the time comes, we will discuss it. There wasn't a second thought about it. And that's what, I mean, the Cowboys have kind of, I don't want to say grown accustomed to chaos in the locker room, and they had freaking Dez Bryant forever, and he was always like that. So there's that. But Jerry Jones handles, you know, this kind of stuff well. He kind of handles player drama well, right? With that being said, I think he's going to handle Ezekiel Elliott well. He kind of already has. Jerry Jones was doing an interview, I believe it was with a – who was it with? Let's see. I'm going to look up his direct comments while I'm thinking about it. So Jerry Jones comments on Zeke. This was with – I don't know who it does. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But his comment said – all you need to know about what Jerry Jones thinks about this scenario with Ezekiel Elliott. It's this article on CBS Sports says, Jones quickly pointed out how Smith was the first running back to win the season's rushing title and a Super Bowl, which happened in 1993. This is a quote from Jerry Jones. The point there is, you don't have to have a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl. Emmitt Smith was the first to do it. And so I think that's all you need to know about what Jerry Jones thinks about this Ezekiel Elliott holdout. The first time a rushing champion won a Super Bowl was with Emmitt Smith, dude. It was with Emmitt Smith. The first one ever. I don't know how many have won after, but I don't think it's a lot. You do not need a prolific running back, a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl. You do need an above-average quarterback. You need a good receiving core, and you need a great defense. You need a great offensive line. Those things you do need to win a Super Bowl. The things you do not need are a prolific running back. And at the same time, you don't need a great receiving core. You need an above-average receiving core. It doesn't need to be great. They just need to be good, right? But you don't need a fantastic running back to win the Super Bowl. And that's what Jerry Jones knows, and that's what he's saying. At the end of the day, Jerry Jones is simply putting it, look, I love Zeke. I appreciate Zeke. We paid Zeke very well for a top five pick running back. But at the end of the day, he knows and I know that we don't need him to win a Super Bowl. And that may be hard to hear for Zeke, but this is what Zeke, the best thing that Zeke could do is this. He could play the remaining 2 years out on his contract, right? Play the remaining 2 years out on his contract, okay? And then when his contract run up, he's already kind of ruined this, but he can say, look, I've been loyal. I've worked my butt off for this team. I've done this. We've been successful. Look, all I'm looking for is another contract that pays him well above the average running back, but I know I'm not going to make, you know, defensive end money. Okay, I know that. That's the best thing he can do. Because here's the thing. A lot of NFL players that don't, like, for instance, Tom Brady just signed a contract extension that made him the sixth highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Tom Brady has never been the highest quarterback in the NFL, or excuse me, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Never. But he's won six Super Bowls. But you know how much money he's made in sponsorships? Stupid money in sponsorships. That's where all of his money, people talk about how his wife Giselle makes more money than he does, blah, blah, blah. That's why he doesn't care. That's not it. The dude is sponsored by Aston Martin, okay? He's got the TB12, right? The dude is Under Armour sponsorship. He gets paid so much money in sponsorship. So the best thing Zeke could do is be loyal, be a good player, get the freak out of the trouble. Stop freaking flashing girls' tits in parades, dude. Don't do that. Stop getting into social trouble. Just stop, dude. You're a great running back. I think I'm 26, 24-year-old. I think he's just a knucklehead. I think he's young. That doesn't make him a bad person. He just makes dumb mistakes. So stay out of trouble. Stay loyal. Work hard. Play on a good team. Try to win a Super Bowl with the Cowboys. And then when your time comes, show them your resume and all that you've done. Because if they won't pay you, somebody else will. Like I said, we saw this with freaking Le'Veon Bell. Did he get paid the money that he thought he deserved? Absolutely not. He still got a good contract, though, and it's a long-term deal. He wasn't going to get a franchise. He felt like he won it. Fine, so be it. The same thing could happen for Zeke. But he's, dude, you're playing for the Dallas Cowboys. These sponsorships will roll in. Let's look up Zeke sponsorships right now. Elliot. Gives me time to breathe and to drink some of my delicious Mio vitamin water. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see any of his sponsorships, but this article, this is interesting. I just pulled this up. This wasn't planned. This is on ProFootballTalk.com. It says, Jason Garrett tells Ezekiel Elliott he's costing himself endorsement money. Bam. That, my friends, is what your boy here, Jamie Kane at Fanboy Sports, is saying. Ezekiel Elliott is costing himself endorsement dollars. He plays for the Dallas Cowboys, quote-unquote America's team. I don't believe that crap. I believe America is football, so there's that. But he's costing himself money. You play for the Dallas Cowboys. Freaking Dak Prescott is not the best quarterback in the league, but he gets sponsorships all the time because he's the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. You are the Dallas Cowboys running back, and you're a freaking good one. Probably the best running back in the league right now, dude. So stop. Be loyal. You're getting paid really good money, and go after endorsements. You're in the perfect scenario. That's what you need to do. Instead, dude's being a knucklehead and requesting a contract extension, or he won't play with 2 years left on his contract? No, that's not how you play this. Whoever his agent is, whoever his representation is, his family needs to sit him down and say, dude, you're going to leave so much more money on the table if you do not play out the next 2 years. And endorsements and loyalty, you play for the Cowboys. What a great opportunity, dude. Dude, if I could be the backup Cowboys running back or freaking quarterback, I'd do it in a heartbeat. And I'd be happy to take whatever they pay me and then try to get endorsements as a backup. Low-level endorsements, because even low-level endorsements still pay well. At the end of the day, they still pay really well. So let's see what Tom Brady's made in endorsements. Earnings. Just for the heck of it. Let's have some fun. So, Let's see. Yeah, I don't even know. Let's see. It doesn't say. I know he's made so much more money on endorsements, though. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Let's see. Tom Brady endorsement net worth. Here we go. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's not pulling up. But anyways, I'm sure he's made stupid money on endorsements, dude. And the same thing with Ezekiel. He can make the guy, everyone knows who he is. He plays for the Dallas Cowboys, the epicenter of football in America, dude. You just do your job. You're going to make money. You're going to make a ton of endorsements. And you play for the Cowboys. You're going to have a name for yourself for the rest of your life if you just stay loyal and stick with the Cowboys, dude. Especially after he retires. Being the Dallas Cowboys running back, look at Emmitt Smith. You know, Emmitt Smith was an all-time great, right? But he did so much more after a spokesperson, commercial TV, this, that, the other, dude. He did so much more after he retired because, not only because was he obviously super winning running back, big time, but he was a Dallas Cowboys running back. It's the same thing with Dak. Dak is not the best quarterback in this league. I believe he's a tier two or three quarterback. I think he'll get better with time. But dude, it's because you're a Dallas Cowboys quarterback, you're getting all these endorsements. He's a good one, but he's not the best, right? So that's my two cents about that. Now moving on, and this is the last thing we'll cover today, then we'll let you go. A little bit shorter episode, but it's exciting. This is Fanboy Sports Top 8 Worst Quarterbacks in the League. We didn't do a top 10, and don't ask us why. We're doing a top 8 Worst Quarterbacks in the League. I'm going to run through the list, run through some stats, and talk about why we pick these people. I'm going to keep it short, sweet, to the point. Buckle in your seatbelts. It's going to go fast. I hope you're excited. So I'm going to start from number 8 and go down to number 1. Number 8. Jameis Winston. We believe will be the number 8 worst quarterback in the league this year. I'm going to go over his stats real fast. Okay. So Jameis Winston stats. Last season. Remember, this is going into this season, and there's no rookies on this list, okay? They have to be people that have played the NFL, rookies. I don't know. Maybe we can rank them later. Actually, that would be kind of fun to rank the rookie quarterbacks going into this season. Who I think – right off the top of my head, who I think that would be number one? Probably Kyler Murray. It would make the most sense, but we'll see. Anyway, so Jameis Winston, number 8. Completion percentage last season, 64.6. Yards, 2,992, 19 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, a QBR of 66.2, which was 8th in the league, which is actually super surprising. The reason he's here is that the dude could not beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick for the starting job until Ryan Fitzpatrick imploded, okay? I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick was going off in the first three seasons of the game, throwing for like 400 yards a game, which was effing nuts, right? But at the end of the day, Jameis Winston couldn't beat him out. And honestly, Jameis Winston hasn't proved to us that he's an elite quarterback since he was selected. I think what he was a top, was he number one overall or was he number three? I might be thinking of Blake Bortles. Let's see. He was either one or three. You can fact check me on that one. I believe he's number one. Anywho, but he hasn't proved to us that he was either, if he was one or three, it doesn't matter. He hasn't proved to us that he was worth that high of a draft pick. He kind of reminds me of a better version of Blake Bortles. With all that being said, he just hasn't shown it to us. His stats haven't been good that good from year in to year out. His rookie year, I believe he threw for quite a bit of yardage, but the guy hasn't progressed year in and year out, and that is not a good sign for a career franchise quarterback. All right, number 7. Sorry, I take a little bit of water. Talk fast. Number 7. I'm not sure how people are going to feel about this one. Marcus Mariota. Last season, completed 68.9 for that was completion percentage. 2,528 yards, 11 touchdowns versus 8 interceptions, and a QBR of 53.2. Tied for 19th. Or at 19th. Same thing with Marcus Mariota. I really liked him coming out of Oregon. I really did. He was so freaking fun to watch at Oregon. Really was fun. but he has not proven himself. I mean, a starting quarterback in the NFL who's had chance after chance after chance. Dude throws for 2,528 yards, 11 touchdowns, and eight interceptions. That's like, you figure that'd be a backup coming into the starting position because the starting quarterback is hurt. I don't know. The Titans have brought in Ryan Tannehill. I don't believe that was just a move to have a competent backup. I think he's going to try to push Marcus Mariota for the job. We know what Ryan Tannehill is, but that's kind of showing the Titans, like, look, man, like, you got to prove it here. And I think at the end of the day, that's what the Titans are saying. I think we're looking at, give it two seasons at the most. I think the Titans are going to look at drafting another quarterback because in two, not next season's draft, but so this upcoming draft has got Tua, Jake Fromm. You know what? It could be this year's draft upcoming. It could be that they're looking for a different quarterback. I could be wrong about that. All I know is that he's got to fight for his job here. He's got to fight for his job. Mike Vrabel said he would be willing to cut off his junk to win a Super Bowl. Obviously, head coach is dedicated. Not sure Marcus Mariota would say the same, but I believe he's got to show it. Number six, Eli Manning. Yep. 66% completion rating, 4,299 yards, which was a lot of yards, good amount, right? 21 touchdowns versus 11 interceptions. But here is the QBR, and this is the defining factor for Eli Manning for last season. His QBR was 49.1. That was 25th in the league. Eli Manning has not been relevant for the past, 5 years? They haven't had a winning season in several seasons. Not a winning season. They haven't made it to the playoffs. They drafted Daniel Jones to be Eli Manning's successor when he retires. I believe Daniel Jones midseason will push Eli for the starting position, if not sooner. I mean, how many seasons in a row do you have to be mediocre at best? How many seasons in a row do you have to go into the season knowing, hey, our starting quarterback is not going to take us to the Super Bowl? That's the point of the NFL, to win a Super Bowl. That's the point. He's won two, and I appreciate Eli Manning. I'm a Manning fan. Peyton is my boy. I cheer for Eli in both Super Bowls against the Patriots because I hate the Patriots. And he won both. And I cheer for him, and I like Eli. He's a good dude. But at the end of the day, you have to win games. You cannot show the rest of your team, all these players that you have drafted, all these young guys, that you're okay with mediocre. And that at the end of the day, that's what the Giants are saying. They are okay with mediocre. Number five, Andy Dalton. That shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. 61.9% completion rating, yards, 2,566, 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and a QBR 59.4 for 15th in the league. Pretty much everything the same that I just said about Eli Manning applies to Andy Dalton. Very mediocre, kind of the epitome of mediocre quarterback. He threw for less yards, obviously, than Eli Manning. I believe that Andy Dalton is a younger version of Eli Manning. I think he's comparable to Daniel Jones. I think that's what the Giants are going to get in Daniel Jones, is an Andy Dalton type. With all this being said, he's not, you know, I don't know. Some teams could deal with Andy Dalton. I think the Dolphins would be better with Andy Dalton than what they have now, and they're on the list. But at the end of the day, Andy Dalton is the epitome of mediocre. You look up Andy Dalton in the NFL dictionary, and his picture is next to mediocre. Going back to grade school there, yep, I went there. Number four, Ravens fans are not going to like me for this one, or us, Fanboy Sports. By the way, we are about to launch fanboysports.com, so look out for that. We got Lamar Jackson at number four in our top eight worst quarterbacks for this season. Last season completion percentage, 58.2 yards. Dude, these next stats are what landed him on this list. 1,201 throwing yards, 6 touchdowns versus 3 interceptions for a QBR. Oh my gosh, dude. For a QBR of 42.6. You know what that got him? 42.6 QBR. 31st in the league. Out of 32 starting quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson was second worst. Yeah, I'm not sold on Lamar Jackson, which sucks because I really, really, really liked him in college. He was so fun to watch. Dude is a freak athlete. I remember people calling him, especially Bill Polian, who was the all-time one of the best, if not the best general manager so far of the Indianapolis Colts. I think Chris Ballard is a better GM than Bill Polian, but he's got obviously a lot longer to go, so he can prove that. That's a different conversation for a different time. Anyways, Bill Polian called for him, and a lot of other people did as well to switch to receiver. And people were saying that was because, you know, Lamar Jackson was black, this, that, and the other. Look, at the end of the day, I didn't realize this because I thought he could throw in college. Lamar Jackson apparently can't throw the ball. And I know they're working on it. I know they drafted a receiver this year. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to throw the ball in the NFL, especially the modern NFL. When we have games like the Chiefs versus the Rams last season with 50-plus points, the highest scoring regular season game in the history of the NFL, you have to have a quarterback that can throw for more than 1,200 yards and 6 touchdowns with 3 interceptions. You have to. You cannot win games. The Ravens have created a team that reminds me of an old-school NFL football team that is run first, that is all about the run, that is not going to work in today's NFL. They got to the playoffs last year. I understand that, but it reminds me a lot of Colin Kaepernick, where they got all the way to the Super Bowl, and then everyone got film and tape on Colin Kaepernick, and they shut him down. It's going to be the same reason for Lamar Jackson. Teams have tape on him now, so I'm really hoping they teach him to throw because I think he's so fun to watch. But this isn't if this was grading top athletes in the NFL, Lamar Jackson would be in the top 5. But this is grading top quarterbacks in the NFL, so he's number 4 on the list for worst quarterbacks in the NFL. So we'll see how this goes. Number 3, this should make Ravens fans happy. Joe Flacco, you got rid of him. Congratulations. I believe Joe Flacco is washed up. I think that he will do decently. I think it's going to be the same results as Case Keenum. For the Broncos last year before they traded him to the Redskins. Joe Flacco's numbers last year, 61.2 completion percentage, 2,465 yards, 10 touchdowns, 12 interceptions with a QBR of 54.8 for 18th in the league. Same old story with Joe Flacco. Had a magical run in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl winning champion, all-time Ravens great, has had a really bad decline. I don't think he's going to be one of those guys that plays until he's 40. If he does, he'll be a backup. I just don't think he's going to do anything special for the Broncos. So, number 2, worst quarterback in the league, the Dolphins starter. We don't know who it's going to be. It's either going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick or Josh Rosen. Either one of those guys is not going to get you a winning season. They're not going to take you to the playoffs. Definitely not going to win you a Super Bowl. I don't have their stats in front of me. Either way, it looks dark for the Dolphins this season, and I believe that they will be picking number 1 overall this season, and I believe they will pick Tua Tagovailoa. Ooh, freaking killed it. I think they're going to draft Tua. Do I believe that Tua is the best quarterback in the draft? No, I do not, but I think that's who they're going to go after. Yeah, we'll see how it happens to the Dolphins this season. I'm calling for them to be the worst team in the league. Now, number 1 on the Fanboy Sports podcast top 8 worst quarterbacks in the NFL is your boy, Josh Allen. Josh Allen had a 52.8 completion rate, threw for 2,074 yards, 10 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, a QBR of 49.8, which was 24th in the league. It's as simple as this. Josh Allen has a crazy good arm, super powerful. I don't believe that he is going to be a fantastic quarterback in the NFL, and I'll tell you why right after this sponsorship break. All right, we are back from our sponsorship break. Thank you very much for waiting for that. Okay, so the reason I believe that Josh Allen will be the first worst quarterback in the league this year is completion percentage. And the reason being is Josh Allen has never had a good completion percentage. Throughout his college career was horrible at completion percentage. I don't think he ever got higher than 56%, if I'm right. Let's see. I can look it up, actually. Josh Allen college completion percentage. Josh Allen college stats. This comes from sportsreference.com. Let's see. His average completion percentage was 56.2. Dang, I was close. So he never got higher than 56.2. Career average. So his 2015, I was wrong here. So his average is 56.2. But his completion percentage was 66.7 in 2015, then went down to 56.0, then 56.3, okay? 66.7 is really good. That makes more sense. That makes sense. Okay, this is what I didn't know. So let's rewind here. Josh Allen, 2015, completed 66.7%. Of all passes. You know how many attempts he made in 2015? 6 attempts. So his highest ever completion percentage was in 2015 for Wyoming. And he attempted 6 passes and completed 4 of them. So I was right. So let's rewind. Jamie Kane was right for Fanboy Sports Podcast. So, 2016, 2017, 56.0, and then 56.3, okay? So, while Josh Allen was a starter at Wyoming, he has never had a higher completion percentage than 56.5%, okay? The one thing you see throughout the NFL in college that does not change when a player gets drafted, for at least for a quarterback, is completion percentage. Okay. His completion percentage in college was 56.3 at his best in 2017. This year in the NFL was 52.8. That is one of the stats that does not translate or does not improve once you get to the NFL. Okay. It's completion percentage. Yards a lot of times tend to go up in the NFL. There's a lot more throwing in the NFL, right? At least for certain teams, more so than in college, you see QBRs tend to go up a little bit because obviously they're in the NFL, they're surrounded by better players, better coaches, so on and so forth. They're in the best, right? But completion percentage typically never goes up from college to NFL. And there's one thing that you have to do in the NFL to be a elite quarterback, it is to complete passes. And Josh Allen simply isn't great at that. And that's why I believe he's going to be the worst quarterback in the league this year. Now, once again, we could be way off in this list. And I'm honestly super pumped to see our top 10 best, our top 8 worst at the end of the season and see where we landed. We put a lot of research into this. We looked at last season. We looked at careers as a whole. And I believe that these lists are going to be very accurate. If not, I'll swallow a pill and walk away with my head low and say, you know what, I was wrong. So it is what it is. At the end of the day, this is our list. I just believe Josh Allen is going to be the worst. So with all this being said, thank you very much for listening in to the Fanboy Sports Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. Once again, I want to announce that fanboysports.com will be launching soon. It will be an official Fanboy Sports blog, a sports blog. We're also looking for volunteer sports writers. So if you're interested in writing for a sports blog and you've never done it before and you kind of want to get your name out there, get in the game, you can send us an email at thefanboysports@gmail.com. Once again, that is fanboysports@gmail.com. You can send us an email. And we'll get in contact with you, and then maybe we'll get your writing for fanboysports.com. So we look forward to it. Thank you very much for listening, and we will be back with you next week.